Welcome to the deep dive. You know, it's funny, we all see the trucks on the highway, but we rarely think about the massive effort behind keeping them rolling. It's this incredible network, the real backbone of our economy.
It really is.
But for the companies relying on these drivers, actually staffing those trucks, especially with CDLA drivers, well, that's proven to be one heck of a challenge right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's a major pain point for so many businesses.
And it's not just, finding someone who can drive, it's keeping them. The market's tight, demand is sky high, and driver turnover. It can be brutal. It's this constant puzzle.
Yeah, you're constantly trying to fill seats, and that's really what we want to tackle in this deep dive. Think of this as a practical guide. We're going to break down the whole process for you, how businesses can actually build, recruit, and maybe most importantly, keep a solid team of reliable, top-notch CDLA drivers. We'll cover everything, from the basic license stuff right through to long-term retention.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start right at square one then, the CDLA. What exactly is a commercial driver's license, Class A? Because it's obviously a step up from a regular license.
Oh, completely different league, yeah. So a CDLA is what you need to operate those big combination vehicles. We're talking a gross combination weight rating GCWR of 26,001 pounds or more.
Okay.
And here's the key part. The trailer, the thing being towed, has to be over 10,000 pounds itself. That's what qualifies it as Class O. It's the license for the really heavy haulers.
Gotcha. So that combination, the heavy tractor and the heavy trailer.
Yep.
So what types of vehicles are we typically talking about then? When you see a CDLA driver, what might they be operating?
Well, the most common are definitely your tractor trailers, your semi trucks, but it also covers specialized stuff like tanker trucks for liquids, flatbeds, even livestock carriers. And sometimes you'll see them driving LCVs, long combination vehicles. That's where they're pulling two or even three trailers sometimes. So it's pretty varied.
Right. And it's clearly way more involved than just pointing the truck down the road, isn't it? There's a whole lot of responsibility packed into that
Oh,
role.
absolutely. You really have to think of them as like mobile operations managers almost. I mean, yes, driving is core, but look at everything else. They have to do really detailed pre-trip and post-trip inspections. That's critical for safety. They have to stick to strict hours of service, HOS rules. That's all about managing fatigue, staying compliant, securing the cargo properly is huge, making sure nothing shifts or gets damaged.
Right. Can't have stuff falling off.
Exactly. And they need to know and follow all the FMCSA safety rules. That's the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Yeah.
So, understanding all these duties, it's not just academic, it's fundamental to finding the right person who gets the whole picture.
The detail really matters. It
Yeah.
really hammers home why, before you even post a job ad, the business absolutely has to know the regulations inside and out. Federal, state, is non-negotiable.
Precisely. Compliance is everything here. So let's break down those minimum federal requirements. First off, age. You got to be 21 to drive across state lines or haul hazardous materials.
Okay.
Then there's the DOT, Physical Department of Transportation. Got to pass that to show you're medically fit. A clean driving or Holiger. The MVR check is essential. No recent DUIs, reckless driving, that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
They also need to pass a background check and obviously a drug test. And then, of course, have that valid CDLA license, potentially with specific endorsements like hazmat, tanker, or doubles, triples, depending on the job.
And that's just the driver's side.
Yeah.
What about the company's responsibilities, the FMCSA stuff you mentioned?
Right, good point. So the company has to do pre-employment checks using the FMCSA clearinghouse. That database tracks drug and alcohol violations. They need an ongoing DOT drug and alcohol testing program in place. They have to maintain detailed driver qualification files, DQ files, and they need a system for tracking those hours of service accurately. Usually with ELDs now, electronic logging devices. These aren't just like administrative hoops. They are fundamental for safety and avoiding huge liabilities.
Okay, so you've got the rules down, Pat.
Yeah.
Now, step two, crafting that job description. And like you said, it's not just listing tasks. It needs to actually speak to what drivers care about, right?
Exactly. This is where you can really stand out or really fall flat. A good description starts the clear title. Something like CDLA Regional Truck Driver Home Weekly, that home weekly part. That grabs attention.
Yeah, Pat.
Specify the route type, local, regional, OTR. Drivers need to know the lifestyle commitment. Talk about the equipment. Is it manual, automatic? What make? Newer trucks are a big draw.
Comfort and reliability.
Definitely. And pay structure be crystal clear. Per mile, per load, hourly, salary. And back to that home time, how often? Daily. Weekends, every other week.
Yeah.
That's often a deciding factor.
So pay, Home time, equipment. What else?
Benefits are huge. Healthcare, PTO, any bonuses, retirement plans like a 401k, and list the must-have requirements clearly. Age, endorsements needed, minimum experience. Putting all this out there transparently, it attracts the right people and saves everyone time screening candidates who aren't a good fit. You know, sometimes it's not just the driver reading it, it's their spouse, their family. That home time detail matters to everyone.
That's a great point about transparency saving time. Okay, so you've got this killer job description. Where do you actually post it? Where do you find these drivers? Because I imagine just throwing it on a generic job board isn't always the best ROI.
Yeah, you need a strategy. So top channels definitely include the CDL-specific job boards. Think sites like CDLjobs.com, TruckDriverJobs 411. They're targeted. But don't discount the big general ones like Indeed or ZipRecruiter either.
Okay.
Then there are recruiting agencies, especially ones that specialize in transportation. They often have a pool of pre-screened drivers, which can really speed things up.
Right. They do some legwork for you.
Exactly. And social media is surprisingly effective now. LinkedIn is good, but also Facebook groups for truckers. Even YouTube companies post videos showing routes, trucks, driver testimonials. That can be really powerful.
Interesting, YouTube.
Yeah. And don't forget referrals. A good bonus program can turn your current drivers into your best recruiters. They know what the job's like.
True.
And finally, consider partnering with CDL training schools. You get access to new talent right as they're entering the field. Really, a mix of these channels is usually best for covering immediate needs and building a longer-term pipeline.
Makes sense to spread the net. All right, applications are coming in. Step four, screening.
You mentioned how critical this is for safety, compliance, customer satisfaction. Sounds like something you really can't afford to mess up.
Oh, absolutely not. Rushing this step is a recipe for disaster. The screening checklist needs to be followed rigorously. First, the MVR, check the motor vehicle record. You're digging deep here, looking for red flags like DUIs, reckless driving, too many accidents.
Then, the mandatory FMCSA drug and alcohol clearinghouse check. That's required before they drive for you, and periodically after. A thorough criminal background check is also key, especially for things that might affect insurance or safety standards.
What else?
Employment verification. You need to confirm their past driving jobs, check their safety performance history with previous employers, and a road test. This is non-negotiable.
Actually see them drive?
Yep. See how they handle the rig shifting, backing up, braking, even basic trip planning. It tells you a lot that a piece of paper can't. And finally, the DOT physical confirms they meet the medical standards. The absolute key here is consistency. Use the same process, the same standards for everyone. It's fair, compliant, and reduces your risk.
That rigor makes sense. So you've screened them, they look good on paper, they pass the road test. Now, the interview. It feels like you're looking for more than just technical skill here, right? You need someone reliable, good under pressure. Character matters.
Character is huge. You need someone you can trust out there representing your company. So the interview needs to probe beyond just, can you drive this truck? Ask things like, how do you handle unexpected delays, like bad weather or heavy traffic? That tells you about their problem solving, their attitude.
Good one.
Or describe your pre-trip inspection routine. Listen for the detail, the seriousness they give it. Ask behavioral questions. Tell me about a time you dealt with an upset customer or a tricky delivery situation. How did they handle the pressure, their communication style?
What about the tech side, like ELDs?
Definitely. Are you comfortable using electronic logging devices? Can you walk me through how you use them? And always ask about preferences. What kind of routes do you prefer, regional, local, OTR, and why? That helps match them to the right job, which boosts retention later. You're listening for professionalism, responsibility, and crucially, their awareness of compliance.
Okay, you've done the interviews, you found the one. Step six, making the offer. And you mentioned earlier, it's a driver's market. Good candidates probably have options, so you need to move fast and make it compelling.
Absolutely. Speed matters, but so does the offer itself. Think beyond just the cents per mile. A sign-on bonus can sweeten the deal. Flexibility and home time is often a huge draw. Maybe they prefer weekends off or being home multiple times a week.
Right. Predictability.
Exactly. Newer, well-maintained equipment is a major selling point. Nobody wants to drive a breakdown waiting to happen. Consistent routes can also be appealing. And then the standard benefits, but make sure they're competitive. Good health and dental, a 401k, ideally with a match, paid orientation and training.
What about performance incentives?
Yeah, safety and performance bonuses are great motivators. Reward the good habits you want to see. And finally, the offer letter itself needs to be clear. Don't just state the pay. Outline the next steps. Training schedule. who to contact in HR, what documents they need to bring. Make it easy for them to say yes and get started. Treat it like the start of a partnership.
Nice. Okay, they accepted. Now, onboarding. This isn't just paperwork, is it? It seems like a crucial time to set the tone for safety, retention, making sure they understand the company way.
It's absolutely critical. It's your chance to make a great first impression and integrate them properly. Key topics. Definitely cover company policies and culture, the unwritten rules too. Provide thorough equipment orientation, hands-on safety procedures. Train them properly on your ELD system and any route management software you use.
What else is essential?
Go over benefits again. Make sure payroll is set up correctly and smoothly. Explain communication channels. Who do they call for dispatch issues, for HR questions? And definitely include a solid refresher on DOT and NMCSA rules. Don't assume they remember everything from school.
Good point. Any practical tips to make onboarding stick?
Yeah, a few things help. Give them a welcome packet, maybe some company swag, but definitely all the key contacts and info in one place.
Yeah.
Assigning a mentor, maybe an experienced driver, can be really helpful for those first few weeks.
Oh, like a buddy system.
Kinda, yeah. And schedule regular check-ins,
yeah,
especially during the first 90 days. Ask how it's going. Address any issues early. That initial support can make a massive difference in whether they stay long-term.
Totally makes sense. Okay, so we've recruited, screened, hired, onboarded. But like you said earlier, hiring is only half the battle. Step 8, retention. Keeping those good, experienced, safe drivers seems like it might actually save more money in the long run than constantly recruiting.
It absolutely does. High turnover is incredibly expensive. Recruitment costs, training costs, lost productivity, sometimes higher insurance premiums, potential safety incidents with newer drivers. It adds up fast. So how do you keep them? Well, schedule flexibility is a big one people underestimate.
How so?
As drivers' lives change, their needs change. Maybe they started OTR but now want to be home more for family. Offering options local, regional, OTR, and being willing to adjust can be huge for retention. Another major factor, equipment. Keep your trucks modern, safe, and comfortable. Drivers spend a lot of time in that cab.
Yeah, it's their office, basically.
Exactly. And communication is key. Honest, respectful communication with dispatch and management. Drivers hate feeling like just a number. Feeling heard and respected goes a long, long way. Maybe even more than a few extra cents per mile sometimes.
That's powerful. What else works?
Recognition programs. Reward safe driving records, hitting milestones like years of service, positive customer feedback. Show them they're valued. And provide career paths. Can they become a driver trainer? Move into dispatch? Get certified for specialized loads? Showing them there's room to grow keeps them engaged. Ultimately, valuing your drivers boosts morale, improves safety, and leads to better customer service. It's a win-win-win.
That really reframes it retention as a core business strategy, not just an HR function. Okay, this brings up a big question for companies. Should they handle all this driver staffing themselves in-house, or does it make sense to outsource it? Step 9.
It's a really important decision, and there's no single right answer. It depends on the company's scale, needs, and resources. Going in-house gives you maximum control over the recruiting process, ensuring drivers fit your specific culture. You can build potentially stronger, longer-term relationships. This often works well for larger fleets with pretty stable, predictable route needs.
Okay, so control and culture fit. What about outsourcing?
Outsourcing, say, to a specialized staffing agency offers different advantages. Speed is often a big one. They usually have a pool of pre-vetted drivers ready to go. It significantly cuts down on your internal administrative work screening, compliance checks, payroll sometimes. This can be ideal if your needs fluctuate a lot, like with seasonal peaks, or if you just want to focus your internal team on other core parts of the business.
And the source mentioned RSS Inc. as an example of that specialized approach.
Yeah.
What did they highlight about using a partner like that?
Right. They pointed out things like deep industry expertise. These agencies live and breathe transportation staffing. Access to that pre-vetted talent pool we mentioned. The ability to scale up or down quickly, flexibility. And often they offer full service support, handling all the compliance paperwork, payroll, time tracking. Plus, a good partner will also focus on retention, not just placing bodies in seats. They understand the long game.
So it's about weighing control versus speed, administrative load, and flexibility.
Got it.
Okay, we've walked through almost all the steps. The final one, step 10, seems crucial. Monitoring and adjusting. Because this industry doesn't stand still, does it? Regulations change, driver expectations evolve, freight markets shift.
Exactly. You absolutely cannot treat your staffing strategy as a set it and forget it plan. It has to be dynamic. You need to constantly monitor key metrics. What are your turnover rates? And critically, why are drivers leaving? Are you doing exit interviews?
Good question.
Track your safety records, accident trends, incidents. Look at operational metrics like on-time delivery rates and customer satisfaction scores. And keep an eye on your hiring funnel. How long does it take to fill a position? What's your cost per hire?
And what do you do with all that data?
You use it actively. Does the data suggest your job descriptions aren't attracting the right people? Maybe you need to tweak the pay or home time offered. Are certain recruitment channels performing poorly? Shift your resources. Are safety incidents ticking up? Maybe your onboarding or training needs reinforcement. It's this continuous feedback loop. Measure, analyze, adjust, repeat. That's how you stay ahead and keep your fleet staffed effectively and safely.
Wow. Okay. So it really is a comprehensive, ongoing process from understanding that CDLA license right at the start through recruitment, screening, onboarding, and critically retention, and then constantly adapting. It touches every part of the business.
It really does. It's complex, no doubt about it. And thinking about that constant change, you know, with regulations always evolving, technology like autonomous trucking maybe on the horizon someday, driver demographics shifting. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? How can businesses get proactive about future staffing needs instead of just reacting to today's shortages? How do you truly future-proof your driver workforce strategy? Something to think about.
That is definitely something to chew on.
Yeah.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Thanks for breaking it all down for us. And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully, you're walking away with a much clearer roadmap for navigating the world of CDLA driver staffing.